Our Bibles are open this morning, if you would please, to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, as we turn there this morning to chapter 10. And throughout this month, we're placing an emphasis on evangelizing our Jerusalem, of winning lost people, inviting them to church, certainly, but more importantly, to invite them to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. As I turn to this passage of Scripture, we're very familiar with the Apostle Paul as we've been studying Paul's life and his missionary journeys as he's in his third missionary journey as we're in the book of Acts. But this morning we're turning to the book of Romans. He's writing this letter to the church at Rome, and this book is often referred to as the book of salvation, because it has a greater summary of the doctrine of salvation than any other book in the Bible. What the Gospels give us as fact, the epistles give us as an explanation. The Apostle Paul was writing this passage of Scripture, and quickly he introduces the reader to the theme of this book. You're in Romans chapter 10, but take a moment and turn back to the first chapter and the very first verse, and you'll notice what the Apostle Paul says as a greeting. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Notice in verse number 16 of chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." This is not our message, but an introduction to the book of Romans. You'll find in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, this purpose of the gospel. The purpose of the gospel is to save the lost. Every person on planet Earth is born a sinner. Now, many would claim, well, I'm one of God's creation, and indeed you are. But may I say, a child has an obligation at some point in their life as they grow up to learn about the Lord. It should begin at home, amen, that we would train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. But within us is a free moral agent of making decisions, a choice for ourselves. And every person needs to hear the gospel. And so we see the purpose of the gospel is to save people from their sin. Also in verse 16, the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is that we are declared justified. The doctrine of justification and sanctification of the believer right here in this verse. Recognize it again that we're nothing but sinners and we're saved by the grace of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. If you're listening to me today, you're in this room and you are listening to me today and you're trying to get to heaven based upon your own good works, may I say, you'll die and go to a devil's hell. We're justified, declared justified and righteous by the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the gospel to change one's life. Notice in verse 16 as well, we see not only the purpose of the gospel, the power of the gospel, but the people of the gospel. It's to the Jew and to the Gentile. It's for all mankind to come to know the Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We not only see the purpose of the gospel, the power of the gospel, the people of the gospel, but the product of the gospel in verse number 17. And the Bible says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Changed lives of men, women, boys, and girls. The Apostle Paul then is writing the book of Romans and to not only the church at Rome, but to those that would be able to hear the word of God from this book, even to this very day, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look in chapter 10, you'll notice that the Apostle Paul begins in verse number 1 with the word brethren. Brethren. He softens a little bit, no doubt, of what he's about to say. And saying through that I love you, I care for you. He's talking to his Jewish friends, no doubt. And he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. Upon him, excuse me. Would you read verse 13 with me? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul has such a great concern for his kinsmen that we see in this passage of Scripture that he has his heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. I would like for you to underscore this phrase, my heart's desire. My heart's desire. Our nation is in a mess. Our world is certainly in a mess. We wonder, what is the greatest need? I think we know. There are many asking questions, what's this world coming to? What's the answer? The Apostle Paul says that my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. What is the desire for our country? Is that they all be saved. I say without any hesitation or doubt that the greatest need for this world is salvation. We understand that there are many that would say, well, I wish that the Lord would, when he came, that he would have done this. Or I wish God would do this. May I say, God came for the main purpose. And that purpose is that all men, women, boys, and girls would not go to a Christless eternity. You see, if God felt that the greatest need for our world was healing, he would have been the God of healing immediately and there would not be any sick. But that's not the greatest need. If God felt that the greatest need was the education, he's a scholar, no doubt, of all scholars, and he would again be able to give us this wisdom which all are looking for. God could have done that, but that's not the greatest need. If God felt again that there was a need of economics, God certainly would lead the charge and he could solve all the world's problems like this. But I want you to know, that's not the greatest need. No, it's not about economics. It's not about mentality. It's not about your education. It's not about your intellect. It's not about your position in life. It's not about having leaving something behind. The greatest need for everyone on planet Earth, my friend, is to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul, as he writes, he says, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. Keep in mind, the Lord Jesus Christ came for one purpose, And the Bible says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this sin-cursed earth, He who knew no sin became sin for us. Our Savior walked upon this earth. He suffered as a man. He bled and died as a man. But we're reminded as He died for the sins of the world on Calvary's cross and cried from the cross, "It is finished." He wasn't saying that we're finished. And He wasn't saying He was finished. Understand, He's saying that the payment for sin has been paid in full. It's been completed. Would you say amen to that? There's nothing that we need do other than come to the knowledge of the truth and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The Apostle Paul said clearly, "My heart's desire." I ask you today, what is your desire? What are you searching for in life as a Christian? And for those who do not know Christ, what is your desire? What is your great desire? And we understand that God has placed within us things in our life that we'd like to accomplish. I remember when I was going through high school, I had a desire to meet the right lady in my life. I had a desire again to be a married man. I'm glad the Lord sent the right one to me. God knew exactly what I needed, someone to keep me straight and someone to hold me back and someone to temper me just a little bit. How many guys know what I'm talking about? Would you say amen? Thank God for a good Christian wife, amen, that God gave me. I had a desire to have a good job. I had a desire to accumulate things. I had a desire, no doubt, to Marcia and I would be wed and that we would have a beautiful family. God's granted all of that. We ask God again to bless us and that we would be mindful of what He's done in our life. We had some desires in our life. We recognized again that the greatest thing that God had ever done for us is to change our lives and that when we trusted Christ as our Savior. We realized, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, get my tongue tangled this morning, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And may I say, we tried to live by Christian principles. To train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And knowing that those are the most critical days of our life, the choices that we make. A.W. Tozer said, the choices we make today determine who we are tomorrow. Now listen, may I go one step farther and say this, that the choices we make today as parents determine who our children are tomorrow. It's so important that we give ourselves completely to the Lord. And we claim that verse from Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The Apostle Paul was an intellect. The Apostle Paul was a man of great authority. The Apostle Paul thought he was doing the right thing of wiping out Christianity. But on the road to Damascus, God changed not only his mind, but his life, his heart. And we find now that his greatest desire was that he would see his kinsmen, his loved ones, his family, the Jewish nation, that they would turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ. May I ask you, what is your greatest desire? He said, "My heart's desire." My heart's desire. I think about so many things. And so many people that I know who set out to accomplish much in life. And many of those people are not alive even today. Many of my friends that I went to high school with and those that we were in the workplace with are not even alive today. I can hear them. I can see them. And they were moving forward to accumulate much. But today, and many of those people are in a place called hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. As pastor of this church, it's my heart's desire that God would help us to win our Jerusalem. We're not the only church in town. And we're not a perfect church. And my daddy used to say, who pastored here even many years ago and pastored for many years, my daddy used to say, if you ever find the perfect church, Don't go there because you'll mess it up. And so there's no such thing as a perfect church, but we do serve a perfect God. And God has the answer for all of man's problems. And may I say, they're all looking. Washington's looking. What's the answer? We turn on the news and try to find the answer. May I say, you're not going to find it there. But the answer is in God's Word. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. The Lord's promised us in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that He would not only heal our land, and we need a healing, amen, but He would deliver us. May I say, the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost, and He is concerned as to where you'll spend eternity. If the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned where our loved ones would spend eternity, should this not be our concern? Paul said, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. May the Lord help us as a church. May the Lord help us as a church that we would continue to preach the gospel and teach the gospel and teach the Word of God here at Cranberry Baptist Church, that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. For what purpose? That we would go out into our Jerusalem, out into our neighborhood, out into our community, out in our workplace, that we can woo others, they can see Christ in us, and that we would be a light to them, and that we could lead them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Friday night, late, I received a call of our neighbor right here at the end of this parking lot, a good friend for many years. His mother and father were members here of this church years ago, the Simmons family. When we came here, his dear mother, Mrs. Simmons, was still living. We'd been in her home many times. These folks loved the Lord Jesus Christ and loved Cranberry Church. After she passed, then her son moved in the home here, became our neighbor. A good man, a good neighbor, but did not know the Lord. I was telling the class this morning, Kaden and I were knocking doors one evening. We had a bunch of people out knocking doors just in the community, and Kate and I had this upper side, and we knocked on Junior's door. He's always so kind to me, and certainly was kind to Caden that evening. Picked on him a little bit, started joking. In just a few minutes, the conversation was able to turn where I was able to give Junior the gospel for the first time. I talked to him many times, but he was always this closed door, you know, just friendly but not interested. But you know, there's something about having a child with you that changes the whole conversation. And that evening, Junior Simmons, nearing his 80s, bowed his head there at the door, and he asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart, and God saved him. Friday night, I received a call from one of the neighbors here in town, in the community, and told me they had found Junior dead. And immediately my mind went to that night when we knocked on his door. And even though I rejoice that he's with the Lord, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, immediately I was convicted. You need to be knocking more doors. There are people everywhere that do not know Christ. There are people inside of this church that do not know the Lord. I was already studying for this morning and looking at this text, but when I went back to the text, my heart's desire and prayer, Paul said, for Israel, is that they might be saved. My heart's desire and prayer is that our Jerusalem would hear the gospel and that they would come to the knowledge of the truth and that they would be gloriously saved. That should be the desire of all of us. Let's not just come to have church to hear good singing, and we heard good singing this morning, and to fellowship and to see one another and to be able to shake hands and somewhat different than what we've been doing. You know, I like to hug, amen? And we like to pat each other on the back and give a good bear hug every now and then to somebody. But we can still fellowship. But it's more than just meeting. It's more than just church. It's more than just a cultural thing, as we said in recent days, of coming to the house of the Lord. That's why you see a lot of people that are not in church over the last year and a half. They found themselves finding other things that they can do that culturally they've just been going to church because that was the right thing to do. And now that's even gone for so many people. But if you know Christ as your Savior, you should have a desire to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Now I realize there are people that may not be able to come even at this time. And I respect that. But know this. The greatest thing that could happen to any boy or girl, mom or dad, is to come to the knowledge of the truth and receive Jesus Christ. My heart's desire. Notice these Jewish people. They had a zeal of God. Notice what the Bible says. That they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Would you write it down? They had an interest in religion. They had an interest in religion. If you'd ask the average man on the street this question, what does a person need to do to go to heaven? What do you think that the average man or woman on the street would say? Most would say, well, I believe that you ought to at least keep the Ten Commandments the best you could. Or they would say, I think that you ought to live by the golden rule. I think that you ought to treat your neighbor as yourself and that you ought to be kind one to another. I think you ought to treat people like the Lord Jesus would treat. May I say, that's only religion. There are a lot of people who have religion who have never had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. One survey says that over 75% of those that are in church even on this day are religious. 75% have never trusted Christ as their Savior. That's astounding to me. That there would be a number of people who ritually go to church every Sunday, or culturally, that they would go to church every Sunday, every Lord's Day, and claim to be a Christian but never have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more than just head knowledge, may I say. It's more than just having a standard of morality. It's more than just having some code of life and ethics of how to treat one another. May I say, salvation is a goal to be achieved by a living God. We come to the knowledge of the truth by Christ. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There are those who would say again that you could just raise your children, and they even place emphasis on their children being baptized when they were young. And I thank God for children who can be saved at a young age. But even at a young age, we need to be careful to know that a lot of children, they're just going through the motions. And some are still claiming to the fact that they were baptized when they were 5. I was baptized when I was 7. And there are many of you who've been baptized as a young child, and you know Christ today as your Savior, and you didn't vary away from that at all. But there are many of us who just went through the motions of religion, of being baptized, and was never born again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Would you say amen?
Amen.
There ought to be a changed life if a person is born again. That's what that simply means. So baptism doesn't save a person. Reading your Bible through doesn't save a person. Going to church every Sunday doesn't bring you salvation. May I say it's a good place to find salvation, but you could find it when somebody knocked on your door. Amen. You can be saved wherever the heart meets the condition. You don't have to be saved at a church or come to an altar, as we call it, a place to kneel, a place to pray. But may I say, as we think about this group that Paul's talking about, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be, underscore, saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They have an interest in religion. Paul said, my heart's desire for Israel. Read on. For they've been ignorant of God's righteousness. Not only do they have an interest in religion, they're truly ignorant of righteousness. Of righteousness. For the Bible says, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof, one place says death, the other says destruction. There are a lot of people who think by doing right, by living a certain way, by not going to certain places, by not having a certain speech, by not watching certain things and not partaking of certain things, that ritual will keep me out of hell. Not so. Not so. And may I say, the good people who are lost without Christ will go to hell just as bad as the worst and the most wicked person on planet Earth. You say, well, how could that be? He was good and moral, upstanding in the community. This person, again, had some morals. This person had some ethics. This person, indeed, lived by the golden rule. They have not just an interest in religion, but also they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're relying on self, establishing their own way. How? Through the law. The law says what? Do. But may I say, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ says, done. When he cried from the cross, it is finished, it's done, it's paid. Your debt is paid in full. And there are many today that try to live by the law. But the law says this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's what the law says. Deuteronomy 6:5. But the gospel says, herein it is love. Not that we love God, but that God, he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10. The law says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And may I say, the gospel says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. There is a difference, my friend, in saying that I believe a certain thing and I'm going to live by a certain code. You can have an interest in religion. You can even be ignorant, however, of the righteousness of God. When Christ saves us, his righteousness is imputed into us. What is that? That I have a right standing with God. Keep in mind, the Lord Jesus Christ declares us righteous before Almighty God. Thank God that we have a right standing with God. The Bible says that your righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. So the person may be a good neighbor. They may be a dear friend. They may even be a relative. They may be upstanding and moral. As a matter of fact, may I say, they are some of the toughest people to win to Christ. I have a dear friend. I worked for him, and then later on, he worked with me and he worked for me. That's pretty interesting, but we remain friends to this day. And I remember talking to him so many times about the Lord. And here's a good man. Everyone thought automatically that he was a Christian. And he says, if I thought I could believe it, I'd believe it. I wish I had the faith that you have. Oh, you say faith. It's not about what I have. It's what Christ allows us to have as we read the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But there are some good people. How many know some real good people that oftentimes they could even be tagged better than some Christians, you know? I hate to say that, but true. Would you raise your hand of mine? We all know them. And we all have friends and family that are good people, but they do not know Christ as their Savior. As you read this passage of Scripture, we see that it's more than just thinking that you can trust Christ as for religion. The condition of these folks, the condition is that they've rejected the truth and they're trying to go up some other way. But there must be a confession. There must be a time in their life when they realize again that they need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God raised Him, the Lord Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You'll find it here in this passage of Scripture of Romans chapter 10. He gives us the plan of salvation. Notice what verse 8 says in this passage even. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. But He says again that if thou shalt confess in verse 9 with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to save us. Thank God for salvation. As you read this passage of Scripture, you'll see not only their condition, you'll see their confession here must be made, and then the commitment. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. There are a lot of people who think they can just live any way. And they can get part. They can go through a cafeteria line and they say, well, I want that and I want that and I want that. No, when you get saved, you get all of it. Amen? Amen. You don't get salvation on the installment plan. There are people who say, well, you know, I've been a Christian and I'm getting there. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the mercy of God, He has saved us. We're not saved by what we do, but what He's done. As I said just a moment ago, it's not about getting things on the installment. Oh, we grow. We grow in the Lord. And we become more mature in the Lord. No doubt we should. But may I say, we'll not be complete until we see the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. I'm looking forward to that day. How many in this room would agree with me that the closer you get to the Lord, the more the devil's going to fight you. And he'll come against you. He'll come against you every way he possibly can. He knows exactly where to target you. He knows your weak point. He knows your down setting. He knows, again, the area of your life that you get so concerned about. He'll put all kinds of things in your mind. That's the devil. That's what he wants to do. You see, the devil's not after those he already has. For the Bible says, no, your enemy, your adversary, the devil, he walketh about, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to destroy your life. I said to someone just this week, I said, well, the devil wants to defeat you. And then I stopped and I said, no, he wants to do more than defeat you. He wants to devour you. So as we read this passage of Scripture, we see this that clearly what Paul was dealing with when he says that they have a form of religion. Brethren, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now notice, would you please, there must be a time that they confess Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lastly, they have an interest in religion, indeed. You'll see they're ignorant, however, of righteousness of God. And then lastly, they're indifferent to redemption. They're indifferent to the plan of salvation. There are people who feel like you've got to work. As a matter of fact, I grew up that way. You'll never gain anything in this life unless you work for it. There's nothing free in life. How many have been told that? Well, that was another year. And you'll get that in a little bit. There's nothing free in life. Everything you get, you're going to have to work for it. And so many people think, if I'm going to get salvation, I'm going to have to do something for it. I'm going to have to work for it. No, my friend, how you get salvation is simply this. Is first of all, just to admit that you are a sinner. By the way, may we share this with our friends. May we share this with our neighbors. May we share this with our coworkers. Is to admit that I'm a sinner and that we were born a sinner. I'm not talking about being sinful. People will say, well, I'm not sinful. I do this and I do that. No, no. It's to admit that you're a sinner. To admit that you're born a sinner. We must agree that there is a price to pay for our sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. But I'm thankful for that conjunction there, that little but that says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we must admit that we are a sinner. We must agree again that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We must agree as well that if we die, we're going to go to a devil's hell. But we can bypass all of that, amen, by simply coming to what Jesus Christ has already done on Calvary's cross. Notice while you have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 10, and you ought to look at this often yourself. This is how you can share with others, how they can come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul was writing, he says, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. How are they going to be saved? Notice what he says in verse 8. They're looking for something. He says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. There it is, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now notice what it says in verse 13 again. For whosoever. Who does that include, preacher? That's all. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul, he cared so much about his friends, his loved ones. Look in Romans 9, and he says this in verse number 1 through 3. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also beareth me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Would you notice verse 3? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. The Jews are still looking for the Messiah to come. The Apostle Paul met the Messiah on the road to Damascus face to face and changed his life. He set out to win his kinsmen. Oh, he won others as well, but he set out to win his kinsmen. He says here in this text that I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. He was willing to be separated from Christ if his brethren, his kinsmen, could come to the knowledge of the truth. The Apostle Paul ended up dying, but he wasn't accursed from Christ. He wasn't pushed away from Christ. But he died for the cause of Christ. Are we willing to die for the cause of Christ? Look at verse 2. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Do we see people as they really are and where they're really going? May I say in this room today, we could turn the world upside down for Christ, starting right here in our own Jerusalem. With every person that we know, that we would not just see them as the best friend or great co-worker, a great neighbor. Oh, all of that could be true. But do they know Christ as their Savior? And are we concerned as to where they'll spend eternity? I have so many regrets. And I'm being honest as your pastor. Of friends over the years that I had influence on, but could never win them to Christ and lead them to Christ. One day we'll all stand before the Lord. The song says something like this, I wish I would have done more. I wish I could do more. But when you walk by the casket of a loved one, of a friend, a family member, and you're not certain, you see, God has left us here for a reason. God's left us here to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad for this, that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And even though I may not see them publicly make a profession of faith, I'm glad to know they're in the Lord's hands. I'm glad that the Lord's not wanting for anyone to die and go to a devil's hell. But may I say, we have a great opportunity. I'm thankful that I knew Junior Simmons. I'm thankful, Caden, that we knocked on his door that night and he trusted Christ as his Savior. There are many more doors to be knocked, and we have a great opportunity. I hope that you'll join us this coming Saturday as we go out to knock doors. The harvest truly is ripe, but the Bible says the laborers are few. May we all get a hold of this, and may we be able to say with the Apostle Paul, my heart's desire for my community, for my friends, for my loved ones, is that they might be saved.